Dada vipur saha Nimitte, on account of causes, sati, being, sarvatra, everywhere,
jaladavapi,
water and other reflecting media,
purusha,
person, atmana,
oneself,
cha,
and
prasya api,
another self,
vidam,
differentiation,
pasiti,
cease,
nanyada,
there is no other reason.
Only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others. Just as one sees the reflection of the body appearing differently manifested in water, on oil, or on a mirror. Purport: spirit soul is one supreme personality of Godhead. He is manifested in samsa and jivanamsa expansions. The jivas are jivanamsa expansions. The different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are samsa expansions. Thus, there are different potencies of the Supreme Lord, and there are different expansions of the different potencies. In this way, for different reasons, there are different expansions of the same one principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is real knowledge, but when the living entity is covered by the body or designated body, he sees differences. Exactly as one sees differences in reflections of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected in the water, it appears to be moving. When it is reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it is reflected in oil, it appears hazy. The subject is one, but under different conditions, appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, the whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahamsa or perfectional stage of life by practicing bhakti yoga, he sees only Krishna everywhere. For him, there is no other objective. In conclusion, due to different causes, the different living entity is visible, different forms as an animal, human being, demigod, tree, etc. Actually, every living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is explained that one who actually sees the spirit soul does not distinguish between a learned Brahmana and a dog, an elephant, or a cow. Pandita Samadarshana, one who is actually learned, sees only the living entity, not the outward covering. Differentiation is therefore the result of different karma or fruit of activities. And when we stop fruit of activities, turning them into acts of devotion, we can understand that we are not different from anyone else, regardless of the form. This is only possible in Krishna consciousness. In this movement, there are many different races of men from all parts of the world participating, but because they think of themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they do not differentiate between black and white, yellow, and red. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the only means to make the living entities free of all designations. Translation: only because of different causes does a person see a difference between himself and others, just as one sees the reflection of a body appearing differently manifested in water, oil, or in a mirror. So, here we have more talk about oneness, seeing oneness, which is, of course, very prominent in the impersonal philosophy, and to some extent also in the Vaishnava philosophy, though it is slightly different. And that, of course, I explained yesterday. So, of course, for the impersonalists, they'll take these verses very literally and take this as a final conclusion, to see nothing except oneness. However, when the Vaishnavas speak of oneness, they speak of it in various ways. For the Madhvas, oneness actually is also not literal. It is only metaphorical. So therefore, it only means everything is dependent on the Lord. But there are actually differences. Ramanujacharya says, no, there is oneness. But, of course, he also accepts the existence of jiva and material energy, etc. So, therefore, he says, there is oneness, but oneness has qualities in it, more or less. Like an object has qualities, but it's one object. So, Lord is like the object, and jivas and matter are like the qualities. So in essence, there's still oneness. So that's called Vishishtadvaita, qualified oneness. Of course, this is different from the impersonal oneness where there are no qualities at all. So there are no qualities in Brahman, and there are no products of Brahman that are real. So at least Ramanuja says there is real things, but they're all part of this one Supreme Lord. So that's his vision of our explanation of oneness. In Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, we have the idea of achintya bheda bheda, that there is oneness and difference, which of course is contrary. You can't have both in one sense. So therefore, he says it is achintya, that the Lord can arrange for difference and oneness at the same time. So from one point of view, he can be one. Another point of view, it can be different from everything. So there is oneness there in one sense, at the same time there is difference. So in this way, one can take this idea of oneness and difference and whatever, and it's explained here, according to these different philosophies. So it will be metaphorical, more or less, if we take Madhava's philosophy. And in Ramanuja's philosophy, there will be oneness with qualifications in it. And in our philosophy, we'll say there is oneness and difference. These, of course, are just different ways of explaining the same principle, that is, that the Lord ultimately is independent and controlling everything, and everything depends on Him. So He has different Shaktis. He has Tatastha Shakti and Bahiranga Shakti and Antaranga Shaktis. And these three Shaktis give rise to material world, jivas, and spiritual world, and of course the form, qualities, and activities of the Supreme Lord. So in this way we get variety. In our philosophy we say the Shakti is non-different from the Lord, and therefore there is oneness. So for the Vaishnava, when he sees oneness, it is different from that of the impersonalists. And so the impersonalists will see everything is illusion except the Brahman. So that in a sense there's oneness. So everything we see here that looks like difference is actually illusory. Okay? So the oneness is simply the Brahman. Whereas when we see oneness, we will see everything is related to the Lord. We will not say that these things are false, that matter is false, or jivas are false, but they are related to the Lord. They are Shakti of the Lord. And so because they are Shakti of the Lord, they're one with the Lord. So that is a way of seeing oneness. However, for the person in Bhava and Prema, he's not really philosophically thinking of what exists. He is thinking of more from the point of view of prema, love of Krishna. So therefore, he will see everything as one, and that everything is serving the Supreme Lord, materially or spiritually. So that is why it says the Prem Bhakta does not distinguish between demons and devotees. He sees them all serving the Lord somehow or other. And material objects are also serving the Lord somehow or other. So everything is related to the Supreme Lord because of his vision of prema. He relates everything to the Lord in prema. Not only they're serving directly in prema, according to his vision. So, that is, I gave the example of Lord Chaitanya seeing the clouds in the sky or the sand dune or whatever. Everything in the ocean, he all relates it to Krishna's pastimes. And he sees only Krishna there. So that is how the devotee sees oneness. So of course that oneness is not exactly like the impersonal oneness, because we have a perception of clouds and water and hill, etc. So it's not that there's no objects and no qualities. But because everything is serving the Lord, In prema, it is one.
One with the Lord.
So that is the vision of the Vaishnava. At the same time, on another level, the devotee will also understand that the jivas are different from their bodies. So in that sense, he does not see that the bodies are the real identification of the jiva. So he sees the jivas as not in terms of, you know, elephant or dog or human being or whatever. He will see the jiva separately from that. In that sense, he will see oneness of the jivas as being not actually different in terms of body. So here it is explained that with different upadis, one will see a different image. So if we see a reflection on the water, so it looks like one thing. We see it in the mirror, it looks differently. We see it in oil, it looks different. We see it in another place, it looks different, slightly different. So the object looks different according to the medium. So similarly, according to the upadi covering the jiva, they will look different. So they will have different bodies, and they will look different. But actually, they're all jivas. But they will look completely different because of upadis with different shapes, forms, and colors, etc. So if we take the upadi away, then of course, then they are, oh, it's all jivas. So in the same way, if we take the upadi away and look at the object directly, then we'll say, oh yeah, that is the object, rather than seeing it through a mirror or through a colored glass or whatever. We don't see different object, we see only one object. So, as the previous verse stated, when the upadis dissolve, then we actually come to the truth. You see the true nature of the Atma after the upadis are destroyed. So an individual jiva, as long as he has upadis, he cannot see properly. The upadis act as an obstruction. Just like if your vision is covered by an object, then you cannot see it. You have a blindfold, then you cannot see. So similarly, the upadis act as a blindfold for the Atma. The vision of the Atma is destroyed because of the different coverings of ahankara, etc. So, therefore, truth means to, or knowledge means to destroy those upadis, those coverings, one by one. And those upadis are not only gross, the material body is gross, but its cause is very subtle. So therefore we have the subtle body as well as the gross body. And in the subtle body, then we have desires and mind, and intelligence and ego. And of those, the ego is the most subtle. So all of those must also be destroyed. So we cannot normally destroy those in the material world, because even if we destroy the material body, the subtle body does not get destroyed. It goes with the jiva. So we can never escape that subtle body. So therefore, we keep getting new bodies and new karmas, etc., life after life. So to destroy that subtle body with the ahankara is a difficult process. And only with great endeavor can it be done. So the jnanis and the karmas and the jnanis and the yogis try to do this through extended processes, which are very difficult. Whereas a devotee engages this upadi, that is the gross body and the subtle body, he engages it. But in such a way that ultimately the ahankara, which is the root of the upadi, disappears. So how is that? It's because the ahankara is based upon enjoyment, and bhakti is based upon Krishna's enjoyment. So by doing bhakti, that ahankara is destroyed. The two things are opposite. So this is the method of bhakti. So this is considered to be the most effective method. This is what is outlined here in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita as the effective process for everyone. So if we want to get rid of those upadis, then we simply have to practice bhakti. By doing so, upadis are destroyed, But simultaneously, we also get vision of the Supreme Lord, and of course, vision of the Atma. So if we do Jnana and Yoga, we destroy the Upadis. And yes, we understand Atma, but we do not understand the Supreme Lord. So it is with bhakti that we have a realization of the Lord, and then we serve the Lord. So there is a oneness in the sense, but also we see the differences there, in the sense that we recognize the difference between the Lord and the Jiva.
The perception of pure devotion, they see all the everything around them, and they see everyone serving directly in the Supreme Lord. That's what we do.
We can say yes and no. Because we can't say that the Prem Bhakta is an illusion. From our point of view, we say, oh, that's not right, that's a demon. But from his point of view, no. So, if we look from Krishna's point of view, then we'll see both. Sometimes Krishna treats demons as demons. Sometimes he doesn't treat them as demons. So therefore he gives mercy to Uttana or somebody, you know, the demon. He shouldn't do that. But he does anyway, because of prema. So, the Prem Bhakta and Krishna have a little different vision from ours, which we cannot really understand. So they can think in that, they can see in that way. Yeah? But it doesn't look so from our point of view. Yeah? Because we have to see in terms of what is beneficial and what is not beneficial for our bhakti.
But what the Paramahansas see, that is the actual fact, or what we see is false.
No, well, it's partially false. It's not completely false, because if we see an object, we can't say it's false.
Our vision is false. The way we think about it.
Well, we think of it, and we think of it as separate from the Lord. In that sense, it's false.
When you are telling about the intelligent person, you think that the Upadis are different, but they will see the oneness in the Atma. But even there is difference in the Atma, so they are not the same.
Yeah, of course, by jati or type, they are the same. Atmas are Atmas. But in the material world, jatis are different. Dog is different from cat, is different from tree, is different from building. So we see different things in the material world. Whereas Atma is all one, like we have cows, they're all one jati. But we don't see that in terms of things in the material world. We see them all as different things. Cow, elephant, they're different. That's due to our vision and our looking at upadis and others also. Yeah, that is of course because in the process of bhakti, one is doing sadhana bhakti and we're going through different stages of anartanavritti, initiative, ruchi, sakti. So that means that in general the devotees are gradually destroying the upadis. Well, they're not all destroyed immediately, so therefore they will think in terms of upadis if their bhakti is not advanced. Yeah, if we're free from upadis, it means no more sin, no more false identification, no more material enjoyment.
Body, the subtle body, and balance of the
Atma.
So,
for
the pure devotees, be able to leave this and overcome the subtle body?
Yeah, subtle body also. When they leave the body, they leave the subtle body and the gross body. Even the yogi can do that. He gets rid of the subtle body and the gross body, or the jnani if they get liberation. They get rid of the subtle body also. Because it's material, it's also material.
The difference of opinion between living and being reality, how to achieve common goals. The difference of opinion among devotees being a reality, how to achieve the common goals. without much.
Well, cooperation. They have to understand that they're not always correct. Or their vision may be one vision, but there's other visions also. Yeah. Well, actually, didn't merge because he went back to the spiritual world after that. So then he became Jayan Vijay, one of Jayan Vijay, so he didn't really merge temporarily.
Thank you.